So, Melanie.
This is CKUT's National Homelessness Marathon. Listeners, you can share your thoughts with the panel, so call us toll-free at 1-866-763-4136. I'll repeat that number again. It's 1-866-763-4136.
Okay, now let's go around and each of you can answer this one. What do you propose as a viable long-term solution? Erica?
Okay.
You start.
First of all, as Canadians, we must recognize that the mother and child bond is a sacred and important one, whether the child is being raised by a mother who is low income or not. When we sever and interfere with that bond, we are affecting the child's development for years to come. So some of the ideas that I have that are viable would be ending the clawback of the National Child Tax Benefit. Right now, they're deducting that dollar for dollar from social assistance checks.
Mm-hmm.
I'd also like to see an increase in social assistance rates to the actual cost of living. Mm-hmm. Also, giving parents high-quality child care and also the necessary supports to secure employment and maintain it for the long term. And also, here in Toronto, there's the Toronto Disaster Relief Committee, and they have been lobbying the government for 1% of all tax revenue to be designated to building affordable housing. So those are just a few ideas that I have.
Those are great ideas.
Everyone's nodding here at the table.
Everyone.
We're like, yep.
Agreement. So, Cindy, what about you?
I'm not sure if I can expand much on what Erica's saying. I think one of the pieces, though, is that we have to stop criminalizing the poor. There needs to be a shift where the poor stop being blamed for all the ails, and we stop, demanding budgets that are balanced on the backs of people who are most vulnerable. And we need to put social and economic resources into healthy communities. And so just to echo what Erica was saying, I think there needs to be commitment federally, provincially, and municipally to put money into affordable housing. And also, we need to re-look at income security programs across the country and making sure that they're adequate and reflect the real costs of things like shelter and food, but also allow people to participate, attend school, get training, and be gainfully employed. And in all of that, I think there's also a need to recognize that, there's real systemic discrimination based on class, race, language, status, and that some of those pieces need to shift in terms of immigration policies, resources to the settlement sector, so that there are adequate kind of community supports to help folks.
I'd also wanted to comment and say that in 6 months' time of my child welfare court case, that the government spent more money on court fees, foster care, and adoption fees mm-hmm. than they would have spent if they had have allowed us to remain together with support services. So really, in the long run, when we invest in families, we are reducing the burden on foster care and child welfare and other institutions.
I agree. I agree.
Thank you.
One thing, actually, I'm going to say something. I'm the host. I shouldn't really be talking, but I have something to add. Over the last few years in Montreal, we've been fighting for this land, these buildings that have been empty for about 10 years now. There was 312 apartments empty, and the government's been holding them empty for so long. It's called Benny Farm. It's an NDG, Notre-Dame-de-Grâce. And, it was all built for young families years ago after World War II. And the veterans, a lot of them have unfortunately passed on, and some of them have moved into better housing. And so now, we feel that why are these apartments being held empty and the government's paying upwards of $150,000 a year to keep them empty, to keep them heated, and the lights going on and off so people would think there's people living there. Nobody even knew they were empty. So what we've done as a group at the Young Parents Program, Gabriella is the coordinator there. We've sort of branched out of there and created a project called Project Zoo, which is Zone of Opportunity, and it's a housing co-op for young families. And it's we have 46 units, and hopefully by September we should be moving in there. It's more certain than not that we're going to be moving in there in September. And I think this is something that we've really, you know. Whoa.
Hello? Erica?
Hello?
Cindy? I think we just lost all our callers.
Hello?
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 Hello? Yeah, quelqu'un?
Oh, I think we just lost all our callers. We had a caller on the line who had an interesting answer to the question of the hour. Let's just repeat the question. Is when we say homeless families, who do you see and what do you think of?
Okay. I think that means the caller's gone now.
Yeah.
Okay. They're really having some difficulties.
We hear a dial tone.
We hear a dial tone in here. Anyhow. Sorry about this, all you listeners out there.
It's not on the air, it's just you guys hearing it.
Oh, okay. Anyway, what I was saying before is that we actually got these apartments and we're waiting to move in. So it's just the government that's procrastinating for nothing on all the little stupid details, but we got these apartments. They're 2-bedroom, 3-bedroom, and 4-bedroom apartments for young families in Montreal. And if you do, if you have any interest in applying to live in this cooperative housing, call in Montreal, call 514-481-0277. You can ask for Gabriella or you can just ask for any kind of application. They can either send it to you or they can give you the address where you can go and pick it up. So, moving on.
Thank you, Angela. Let's give the phone number again. It's 1-866-763-4136. We're having some kind of technical difficulties, but please keep calling in. The question of the hour was, when we say homeless families, who do you think of and what do you see? Please call in.
And in French, quand vous entendez les mots famille sans abri, c'est quoi que vous pensez? C'est quoi que vous voyez? Le numéro encore, c'est 1-866-763-4136.
And if anybody out there would like to call in and answer any of the questions we're asking our panelists, feel free. I'd like to know what you guys think of long-term solutions for this problem of homeless families in Canada. Kelly, do you have an answer to that question?
For long-term solution, I guess...
The mic's not working.
Hello?
Hello? I don't think mine either.
Sorry about that. For my point of view, for the long-term solutions, I feel that we need more affordable housing for young parents and families, as well as the government should inform people of adequate housing.
Thank you.
Someone else?
Gabriella, what do you feel?
I think children are our most important resource for the future, and they really deserve to be invested in rather than subsidizing big industries or big corporations. Why not invest in the children that we have here who are going to build the next generation? Families need decent income. It doesn't make sense that you have to pay more than half of your income on housing. Nobody could ever make it on such a low income. We also need more initiatives like housing co-ops. We need to get the houses out from the profit-making market, from the commodity. People have a right to have shelter. People have a right to have food. Children have a right to be with their families. All of our energy should go to make sure that these necessities are filled before we start to put our money into any other kind of enterprises. So housing cooperatives, more that also gives people the skills to manage. It empowers them. They can take care of their own apartments.
Can I interject at all?
Sure.
I'm getting some feedback.
Are you near a radio or?
No, everything is turned off. I don't understand what it is.
Well, we can still hear you, though.
We can still hear you.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I'm vice president and director of the housing cooperative where I live. And I have to say that living here has given me dignity and also community. And most single moms are living isolated and have no support within their family or communities. And co-ops and cooperative housing really fosters this. And since I've lived in this cooperative, I've received so much support from my neighbors, and I'm able to contribute in a way that is real and, you know, really effective. And we don't need to build ghettos, per se, where you put a whole neighborhood full of poor people. I think the idea of mixing it up, which is what cooperatives do, they mix up different levels of income.
Exactly.
And I think that's a really good step towards change for women and children, is the dignity and the ability to be able to contribute and also benefit from a cooperative living situation.
Mm-hmm.
Can you still hear me?
Yeah, we can. I totally agree.
There's an annoying buzzing in the background.
Yeah, terrible buzzing noise.
No, I absolutely agree with you, and that's why we've tried so hard, and we've been fighting for the last 3 years to get this housing co-op off the ground, and it's finally almost there. We can almost, you know, get in there.
You're almost there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Actually, I wanted to ask Loretta something really quickly. What kind of support would you have needed in the last 18 months or so?
The best support that I needed was coming from YPP. It was really great and understanding. It was to keep my family together, and basically they provided all the needs that I really needed, but when I didn't, they couldn't. So I was pretty much on my own at the time. But I stuck it through, and they stuck it through with me, and they were really there, and it was a good cooperation to lean your shoulder on for understanding and cooperation.
Yeah, if there's one thing I know about Loretta, she's a fighter. She really is, and she's a great mom. And I know that everything is going to work out well for you.
Okay,
I have faith.
We actually have two callers on the phone.
Wow.
Our first caller is Sean. Sean, are you there? Sean? I guess we lost Sean again. Then we have Aziz from Fredericton.
Hello, yeah.
Hi, Aziz. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I could hear you. Yeah, we could hear barely, but we could still hear you.
Okay, I'll talk very loud.
Oh, perfect, perfect.
Okay, my name is Asif Rashid, and I'm calling from Fredericton. And I know a couple of families that were living in public housing, and they were arbitrarily evicted, and that's a whole other long story. But anyways, that's going to court, and things are okay for now. The issue that they had, once they got evicted from their housing units, they were searching for another place to live. They were looking for apartments, and both of them have kids. One has, I think, 3 kids, and the other one has 4. And they had a really hard time, they said, finding apartments, trying to find affordable apartments that would accept children.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big problem in Fredericton here, where it's very hard for families with children to find apartments, with landlords that will accept children. The only places that will are usually really expensive. So I'm wondering what the situation is like in other places where the panelists are from.
We all agree.
We're
the majority of us.
We all agree.
Yeah. In Montreal, it's the exact same situation.
Same.
And how about you, Erica?
In Toronto.
Do we have Erica in Toronto? Okay. Well, I'm assuming it's the same thing in Toronto. I know there's a lack of housing out there, too.
I'm pretty sure it's cross Canada.
Yeah, nationwide.
Nationwide.
You know, worldwide.
Yeah. So it's what happens then? Like, is it? What do the landlords say is their reason for not accepting children?
I'm sorry, what was the question?
When a landlord says sorry, we don't allow children in this building. Is that ever challenged?
Yes, it is, unfortunately.
And it takes 3 years to get through court with it.
Yeah, and it's very illegal. Landlords have no right to refuse you regardless of how many children you have.
Completely.
Or your nationality or your background or your history or anything
or
like
salary.
That.
Or your salary.
Or your salary. Unfortunately, it does happen because of the lack of housing in these cities across Canada, and they're being extremely picky, and that's leaving families homeless, basically.
Yeah, I can. I'm freezing out here, and I can just imagine homeless people right now that are out there, like on the street. It's really cold out here. I don't know what the temperature is, but it's freezing. We're all shivering
it's
at the
probably
table.
Like minus 15 here. I don't know about in Fredericton or in Toronto. Are you guys still there?
Yeah, I'm still here. It's about, I think, about minus 10, minus 15 here as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Did you have another question before we let you go?
No, that's fine. That was good. I'm just curious.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I see Erica's back. Is Cindy back too?
Oh, I'm not sure.
Okay, so we have Erica. We have another caller. We have Sean again, who's being so patient. Is Sean here?
Sean. Sean, the mysterious man.
I keep getting these messages that Sean is on the line, and he's still not there. So maybe he gave up.
Sean is gone.
Well, Sean, if you're still listening, you can still call back. We're going to get to your question.
Change your name or something. Maybe it'll work next time.
All right.
Could I say something again?
Is it Cindy or Erica?
This is Erica.
Erica, okay. Go ahead.
I just wanted to share a little bit of my experience. Every morning, my daughter and I walk to school, and she attends a school out of district because it's a better school in the next district over. And every day we go underneath a bridge, and there's a whole bunch of homeless people who have makeshift beds and blankets.
Mm-hmm.
And it's right on Yonge Street, if any of you are familiar with downtown Toronto, which means it's very close to the financial district and all the big corporate and government buildings.
Mm-hmm.
And what's scary...
Uh-oh.
Oh, no. Erica?
Yeah. Erica. Okay.
I think we just lost her again.
Technical people, we keep losing our callers. Okay, so hopefully we'll get
Erica?
Her back.
Okay, we're not going to give up on Erica. We're going to...
Hey, please call her.
Erica's gone.
Erica's gone.
I'm back.
Oh, Erica's
she's back.
Back.
My goodness. Come and go.
So I guess what I was trying to say is that I see thousands of people every day walking by, barely taking notice, and on with their day. You know, and it's so scary how complacent Canadians have become and how... indifferent they've become to the plight of the underprivileged. To sleep under a bridge night after night is something I think that no Canadian should be dealing with. If the Canadian government thinks, well, we'll send aid to Africa, we'll send aid to all these other countries, right here at home, we need aid and we need it now. It is scary to think that, you know, people just don't care anymore.
Yeah, I agree. It's true.
Yeah, and also to touch on what Cindy was saying, she said, you know, there's a lot of discrimination and other members of society blaming us for the situation we're in. And I think the general consensus is that, well, we deserve this, or we've made choices and now we must live with these choices. Well, I'm here today to tell everyone who's listening that some of us were born into this life without any options at all, and all we've done is just survive with what we have. With no help from any of the government or our families. So when you have no real choices, you are forced to do things that you never would have imagined. And it's something that will stay with you for the rest of your life and your children's life. So
mm-hmm.
All people are important. And as Canadians, we should set ourselves apart from the Americans and take care of our own people. So I just wanted to put that out there.
Thank you. Well said.
did Erica answer the long-term question?
Yeah, no, she did. She did. She had a great answer for that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I keep getting confused between Cindy and Erica. Cindy's still not back, is she?
Yeah, Cindy's having trouble as well connecting. We keep getting disconnected.
Oh, God.
So I'm not sure if she can get through or what's going on.
Okay, well, we're going to give out the phone number again. It's 1-866-763-4136. En français, 1-866-763-4136. On s'excuse encore. Le plus tôt de notre panneau ici, c'est tous des anglophones. Alors, si vous avez des choses en français à dire, on comprend le français, alors gênez-vous pas. Don't be shy to call in with any kind of questions or comments about anything that we've said on this panel. If you feel there's any long-term solutions, we would appreciate that. We have a really horrible buzz. I hope you guys can't hear that in the radio stations. Like, I hope the listeners can't hear this.
We apologize for the technical difficulties.
Hello? Okay, I'm going to go over our panelists. We have Loretta, who the mother of 5 children and who was recently homeless. Martine is the mother of 6 children and has been staying with family for the last 8 months because she lacked housing. Kelly is the mother of 2 school-age boys and has first-hand experience with homelessness. And here in Montreal, Gabriella Richmond is the coordinator of the Young Parents Program of Head and Hands in Montreal. The program provides support for young parents and their families. And in Toronto, we have Cindy and Erica. Cindy is the executive director of Nellie's, a Toronto-based women's organization which provides emergency shelter and community support to women and children who are homeless. Erica is a single mother. She's a member of the Daily Bread Food Bank Board and Housing Cooperative in Toronto. And that's our panelists. If you callers have any questions for any of these ladies, please feel free to call in.
And in French as well. Oh, Gabriella has a comment here. Sorry.
When we discussed earlier what was needed, I've often been in situations where I was looking for shelters for families, and there's just no shelters around for a mom and dad with children. By necessity, they're going to have to be split up. Then if they are not a victim of conjugal violence, they cannot qualify for certain shelters. If they're not newly arrived immigrants, they can't qualify. So there's really no resources around for people who have been evicted from their apartment and have no place to go. There is nowhere to go for these families. And then they are forced to stay with families, and often they are not that welcome. It causes immense stress. So we also need more emergency resources for people who find themselves in this terrible situation.
Thank you, Gabriella. Does anybody else have any comments or anything?
I feel that the more support the single families or families in general in Canada, the better it is.
Thank you. Oh, Sean is back on the line. Cool.
Yep.
Sean, we got you. We're good. We're
back. How are you guys doing tonight?
Oh, a little cold, but that's good. I mean, we're here and we want to hear what you have to say.
Good, good. Well, I'm pretty much coming from a perspective where I've witnessed somebody go through the loss of a house in Ontario, and in the social system out there, the Children's Aid Society, becoming involved in their life. And watching courts deem that as non-stability. But I also, what perplexes me is the fact that too many of the socialistic services that are established nowadays for...
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
He was just getting to the point, and Sean's gone.
We finally got to him, and now he's disconnected.
Sean's gone again. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry about this. I'm left here, my co-host left me all alone. And okay, so we only have about 5 more minutes of our show. We're going to be going into the childcare room after in a few minutes. And in there, my children are there. I have 2 boys, 7 and 4. Luckily, we haven't been in this situation, and hopefully we never will have to go through it. Oh, you're back. Okay. Thank you. I'm trying to kill air. Like,
we apologize.
Fill the time here.
Still alive and kicking. So
okay.
So like I was saying, is I find that too many of the programs that are set up are too involved.
I'd like to commend you guys for doing such a wonderful
based enough. I find that you know, the system and process is becoming more of a by the book by helping these single mothers or single fathers, that being my case. Finding patterns and groups for assistance and support that I think that, you know, like the Department of Youth Protection, Batshaw here in Montreal, is becoming involved in too many of the wrong situations, and they're not focusing what the actual goal is providing the foundation and or building blocks for children who are in, you know, semi-deprived or full-blown deprived situations. And I find that because of the system, that too many parents are losing out in the critical in the critical moments of their children's lives, and vice versa. That because of the streamlining of the system and the under-budgeting from government cutbacks and stuff like that, it's not that hard to find housing if you have the right support. And I find that, you know, with a little bit of effort and a little bit of community-based support and the community looking after its own people, that things would become a little better. And I think today's society has kind of lost that sense of community support, sense of socialistic growth and protection of the children within their society and their families, whether it be single or double parents, or, you know, that's pretty much my opinion, because in and myself, I'm going through that situation where I'm watching the system grossly fail.
Yeah. I'd like to ask you a question, actually. What do you feel are the government's responsibilities, like, really, to these families?
For families, I think that we need to start protecting the families that exist within our country before we try and protect the ones that are trying to enter our country. Or be that as, you know, like, we have our own problems, our own socialistic problems. We have, you know, a grossly varying unemployment rate and last, you know, resource social assistance program where the numbers keep fluctuating up and down every year. And I think that what needs to happen is we need to focus within. We need to heal ourselves as a country, protect our foundation. Like, a comment was made to me by a dear friend of mine quite some time ago, that our children's lives are what they go through between when they're born until they're five are the building blocks of their lives. And what we teach them and learn for them by providing a stable environment, a home, by keeping their parents, whether it be mom or dad or both, in their home, and the assistance from the social, you know, Department of Youth Protection, not the interjection. I think that they interject way too often in the wrong situations, that they're not helping the families out enough. They're kind of like saying, okay, this is what you need to do, but we're going to give you not enough of the tools to do it. And like my friend said, the building blocks carry throughout their lives, and it's affecting our children's lives and the perspectives of what community and what social community is. It's not the same as when our grandparents were growing up. We needed a place to stay because we were losing the mortgage on our house, like my grandfather would explain. We could go and visit with the neighbors and stay with them while they helped us out. It's not like that anymore. You have to have your own group of associates and friends in order for you to, you know, at this point in time, because of the housing crisis, because of the housing shortage, because of the lack of funding, because of the lack of anonymity that are being provided by the government and these socialistic groups like Batshaw and Department of Youth Protection, they're not giving enough tools. They're not giving enough anonymities for people to succeed. They're giving them a goal with no tools to succeed to that goal.
Yeah, thank you so very much for your comments. Unfortunately, I think we're running out of time now. So, I'm sorry. The number one more time for any other callers. I mean, we're running out of time. So they left me here. Everybody's gone except for Kelly. She's here with me.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Kelly is, again, the mother of two school-aged boys, so she's in the process of trying to get her son back with her, and also she's right at this moment staying with a friend, so she is currently homeless. So, I mean, if any of you landlords are listening out there, she's a wonderful mother, has one of her children living with her, and, you know, call. Call and let her know if you have an apartment for rent. Thank you. So I'd like to thank all of the panelists for being with us and staying with us. And we're going to head over into the kids' room now. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, by the way, we have childcare till 9, so if there's any of you parents out there with their kids. And plenty of hot food, so any people in Montreal, come down.
Or at Cafe Soup. Thank you to all our panelists. We appreciate the time you spent with us
Ontario
this evening
Street.
And all your insights regarding this very complex issue of homeless families in Canada. We're now going to host the childcare room.
Hear it.
A whole bunch of
Somebody's
kids here.
Hat.
You guys want to say hi?
I'll bring a kid.